Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 154.
Notices and announcements. Busy day. The House will reconvene this afternoon at 2 p.m. Any further notices and announcements? Seeing none, subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1, the House now stands in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Thank you.
Introduction of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
Representative Howard, House Bill 1059, Town of Bermuda, Run, Charter Amendments.
Referred to Committee on Local Government and Favorable Rules Counter, Operations of the House.
Representative Gillespie, House Bill 1060, At-Large Members of Macon County Board of Commissioners.
Referred to Local Government and Favorable Rules.
Representative Winslow, House Bill 1061, Creedmoor Annexation and De-Annexation.
Referred to Local Government and Favorable Finance, if favorable rules.
Representative Eiler, House Bill 1062, Town of Leland, Recall Officials.
Referred to Local Government and Favorable Rules.
Representative Miller, House Bill 1063, City of Southport, Tree Ordinances.
Referred to Local Government and Favorable Rules.
Representative Miller, House Bill 1064, City of Southport, Removed Extraterritorial Jurisdiction Authority.
Referred to Local Government and Favorable Rules.
Representative Gill, House Bill 1065, Garner Community Facilities Impact Fees.
Referred to Local Government and Favorable Finance and Favorable Rules.
Representative Miller, House Bill 1066, Boiling Spring Lakes De-Annexation.
Referred to Local Government and Favorable Finance and Favorable Rules.
Representative Alston, House Bill 1067, Employee Housing, Durham County.
Referred to Local Government and Favorable Rules Counter, Operations of the House. Representative Pickett is recognized to send forth Education University's Committee Report. Clerk will read.
Education, Representative Pickett, Education University's Committee Report. House Bill 912, 2024, UNC Self-Liquidating Capital Projects, favorable and re-referred to Finance.
House Bill 912, referred to the Committee on Finance. Representative Bradford Kidwell, Setzer, Ray, Howard, Ross, and Tyson are recognized to send forth Finance Committee Report. Senate Bill 166, 2024, Building Code Regulatory Reform, Favorable House Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable House Committee Substitute Number 1, and re-referred. The House Committee Substitute Number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute Number 2, the serial referral to Rules Counter and Operations of the House, is stricken, and the bill, Senate Bill 166, House Committee Substitute Number 2, is placed on the calendar pursuant to 36B with no date. House Bill 942 is placed on the calendar, 36B with no date. Testing in the House, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Clarification for the record, resubmission of the Judiciary 1 Committee Report from Representative Ted Davis, Jr., House Bill 942, Shalom Act, favorable and re-referred. The serial referral to Rules Counter and Operations of the House is stricken, and House Bill 942 is placed on the calendar pursuant to Rule 36B with no date. Carry One Committee Report, House Bill 917, GSC Technical Corrections, 2024, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill and re-referred original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute, House Bill 917, referred to the Committee on Rules, House Bill 938, GSC Moral Turpitude Occupational Licensure, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred original bill placed on favorable calendar, whereas committee substitute, House Bill 938, re-referred to the Committee on Rules, calendar operations of the House.
Sergeant Arms will close the doors. We'd ask our visitors and our guests to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Abe Jones. We'd ask our members and our visitors in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing thereafter for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good afternoon. Just very briefly, I'm going to read five verses of the scripture and I'm going to pray. This is Psalm 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we once again turn to you before we do our business here. We ask that you will bless us and give us wisdom. We pray for the world because it's in turmoil. We pray for all people and all races, because we all belong to you. We ask that you would give us vision and courage and wisdom in this house. We ask that we will show love to one another. And we ask that we, though we disagree, we not be disagreeable. And this I ask in your holy name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for May 7th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Stevens moves the journal for May 7th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Members, have your attention. This is going to be on a motion to suspend the bill filing deadline without objection. But last Thursday was the bill filing deadline for bills affecting the 2024-2025 budget or state or local retirement systems. There are several members who have run into some technical issues and were unable to file their bills before the deadline. So the chair is going to ask without objection that the bill filing deadline for bills affecting the 2024-2025 budget or state or local retirement systems remain open until 4 o'clock today for members to file those bills and only those bills. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Members, two 36B matters for today. The first is House Bill 942, short title is the Shalom Act. Chair directs the bill be removed from calendar 36B and without objection add today's calendar. So ordered. Second bill, Senate Bill 166, short title 2024 Building Code Regulatory Reform. Chair directs be withdrawn from 36B and without objection.
Objection.
Objection having been heard. The question before the House would be if Representative Stevens would like to make a motion to add the bill, Senate Bill 166, to today's calendar.
Mr. Speaker, notwithstanding the objection, we move that the House rules be suspended that it be added to the calendar.
Okay. Representative Harrison, it's actually not a suspension of the rules. It just requires leave of the House. Representative Harrison, does the lady like to speak to the bill being added?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
If the lady has the floor. If the lady could maybe briefly address it, we'll.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, so this is a 67-page bill that was one page last week. Most of us haven't seen it, had no idea it was coming up on the floor today. I've talked to my city council members. They had no idea. And this is a serious bill that affects our building code, the safety of North Carolinians. And I just would urge that we delay the vote on it so that the public can have a chance to digest it. Thank you.
Question for the House. Is the motion to add Senate Bill 166 to today's calendar? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Wheatley wish to vote? Representative Wheatley? Representative Shepherd wish to vote? Representative Warren? Representative Reeves? Clerk of the lot machine, record the vote. 62 haven't voted in the affirmative, 44 in the negative. Bill is added to today's calendar. Members, before we take up our business, the chair is going to welcome some special guests. We have a group of guests with us today from Western Carolina University, the women's soccer team. So the chair would, at this point, they will be joining us on the floor. They're going to appoint an escort committee of the following members for the Western Carolina University Chancellor, the women's soccer team and coaches. The escort committee shall be Representative Clampett, Chair, Representatives Gillespie, Ager, Baucom, Pless, Prather, Rudow, Sasser, and Watford. Desk those members. Looks like they're already at the back. So if you would, please join me in welcoming our distinguished guests from Western Carolina University. Members, we're honored to have with us today the Western Carolina University's women's soccer student athletes, trainers, and coaches. The team has had a record-setting year in Division I athletics, winning both the regular season and tournament Southern Conference championships, earning an appearance in the NCAA tournament. These student athletes are also successful scholars. With a team GPA of over 3.7 for 10 consecutive semesters, their academic majors range from nursing, education, management, engineering, and other high-value degrees, such as apparently clothing design sported by Representative Clampett today with that purple coat.
Thank you.
They've been recognized by the United States Soccer Association for team ethics and sportsmanship. One of seven Division I programs out of 350 soccer programs to be awarded College Team Ethics and Sportsmanship designation. The team is accompanied by Southern Conference Coach of the Year, Chad Miller, Catamount Athletic Director, Alex Gary, and Chancellor Kelly Brown, who has been named for the fourth year in a row to Business NC's Education Power List. In the gallery with us today also are parents, leaders, and alumni of Western Carolina University's Catamount Nation, as well as Western Carolina trustee Becky Brown, her husband Frank, Chief of Staff Dr. Melissa Wargo, and then, of course, former Representative Brawley, who was on the Western Carolina board before being appointed to the commission recently. I want to congratulate our Catamounts with us today for your championship season on the field and in the classroom. We're proud of you, and the seniors on the team, congratulations on your successful collegiate careers. And at this time, the chair is going to recognize Representative Clampett to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Congratulations again. I am so proud of you that you're in my district in the most beautiful part of North Carolina. Western North Carolina, y'all. That's past Statesville. That's past Asheville. But anyhow, these young ladies have got an impeccable service of maintaining a GPA for 10 semesters in a row at a 3.7. Wow. That is amazing. They're not just champions on the field. They've showed their champions in classroom. And it's the first program history to win both regular season and tournament titles. Another milestone for sure. But being the 2023 regular season champions of the Southern Conference, they won the tournament championship. So my kudos go to you. I appreciate each of you. I thank you for coming down today. As all of us here in the house do, you're exemplary of student participation in sportsmanship, academicship, et cetera. And with that, like I said, I can't say enough about, if you want to come and see a really good soccer game in the most beautiful part of North Carolina, where the grass is green, right, and we have rain, and you got a beautiful backdrop of the mountains of North Carolina, you might be lucky enough to see an elk or a deer also, too, while you're there. But I couldn't be more proud and humbled to be able to be participatory with this great event today. Thank you, Chancellor. Thank you, Coach, for being here. Thank you, Mr. Freaker, for allowing me to say a few words with that. Absolutely. Thank you again.
And the chair would further direct that the representative statement submitted by Representative Clampett will be read upon adjournment and spread across the journal. The gentleman from Macon, Representative Gillespie, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to pretend to stand and say more than Representative Clampett has, but I will tell you that the state of North Carolina is proud of you guys. You did a fantastic job. You did it with class. You did it right. And I'll close with this. Go Cats!
Again, congratulations. Thank you for being with the House of Representatives today. Thank you all. Members, we have a number of courtesies of the gallery. The chair mentioned previously Representative Brawley, who's here, who, of course, now is on the Utilities Commission. Bill, it's good to see you here with us today as well. And also Representative John Blust is back in the back. He's trying to get a jump on work. By the way, you can't get your per diem yet, so you're on your own dime for right now. But, John, good to see you again with us. On motion of the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Loftus, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Ward Adcock, who is here today with along with his wife. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Where are they? Back here in the back. Good to see y'all. Also, we have an honorary page here serving today with Representative Zinger. We have Olivia Bedescu from Forsyth County, who is originally from Romania and is here with the Program of Academic Exchange. Glad to have you here with us. She's in the back of the chamber. Welcome to the House of Representatives. Another former member who is here with us today, Nathan Ramsey, who is joined by his wife, Robin, who currently is working for Senator Tom Tillis. Nathan, Robin, where are you all right now? Right back in the back. Good to see y'all again today as well. And on the motion of Representative Wheatley of Cumberland County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to members of the Cumberland County, Fayetteville, and Sand Hills Republican Women's Club. And on behalf of all of the members. The chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the other representatives here from the various Republican women's clubs from around the state. Would you all please stand so we could welcome all of you collectively as a group? All right. Thanks for being with us. Calendar, House Bill 942, the clerk will read.
Speaker Moore, Representatives Ross, Cotham, and Paré. House Bill 942, a bill to be entitled, an act standing up to hate and leading with our moral principles, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from, gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Rudell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to urge my colleagues to vote for this bill. This bill will fight anti-Semitism and is a critical education tool for the public to discuss anti-Semitism. Before I talk about the merits of the bill, I'd like to give a little context from my family history and from Jews in the state of North Carolina. Anti-Semitism has persisted for thousands of years, and the Jewish people have had to fight against anti-Semitism and has survived through the pogroms, through the Holocaust, and I am proud to say we are still here. My great-grandfather on my dad's side, Isidor Rodowitz, fled Russia in 1904 because Jews in Russia were drafted as stable boys in the Russian army, which was a life of hard labor and an early death. He came to the United States, became a stonemason, and raised my grandfather on the Lower East Side. And when he immigrated, his last name was Rodowitz. But an aunt who was an expiring actress convinced the family to change their name to Rudow so it would sound less Jewish. And the family joke has always been they hadn't been in the country long enough to know what a Jewish-sounding last name is. They could have picked Miller, Smith, anything else. Well, my grandfather, Miriam Fagotner, she fled Antwerp as the Nazis were invading Belgium in 1940, just a week before she was to graduate from high school. From Belgium, she traveled to France and then Portugal, along with her sister, Rochelle, and her mother, Anya. In 1941, she came to New York. She took elocution lessons when she arrived to lose her accent and added English to the growing list of languages that she spoke, six by the end of her life. Though my grandparents faced their own challenges in the U.S., they found a way to survive, to thrive, and live the American dream. And I want to be clear, my family is only in this country because we had to flee every other country we called home because we were Jewish. That is a story of my family, and that is a story of many, many Jewish families in the state of North Carolina. Anti-Semitism is increasing again today. FBI data released in October 2023 reports that 55% of all religion-based hate crimes in 2022 were driven by anti-Jewish bias. But this isn't just statistics. These are people. And I've talked to parents and school administrators from around the state, and the stories I heard will shock you. Jewish kids who don't feel safe going to school, swastikas being spray painted on campuses, and stories of kids who have been bullied and harassed, all because they are Jewish. I believe passing this bill will help. This bill uses the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. There is both a definition and examples that are given to add context. First and foremost, the definition and the examples are a helpful tool for people to understand anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is something that morphs and shifts over time, and understanding the ways it can present itself is useful. I won't go through all the examples, but I'll list two here just for the body to know. It is anti-Semitic to accuse the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. It is anti-Semitic to make mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews, such as the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. These examples are tools to aid in conversations about anti-Semitism and the different form that it takes. And I'll tell you, having read through the examples, I have heard them said to myself or my family or people I know many times, and I know they are still out there and these beliefs are out there. Secondly, this is an important definition to be used in the courts. So the way this bill works is that if somebody commits a crime, then a judge can use the definition of anti-Semitism in the examples while thinking about sentencing. To be clear, they don't have to, but it provides them an option. This isn't about creating a new type of crime. It isn't about giving judge. It is about giving judges the context to understand anti-Semitism during sentencing. As an example, under this new law, someone can say out loud or post online any of the examples it says in the definition. This is not about chilling speech, as it states very clearly in the bill as well. So let's take the example that says, it is anti-Semitic to accuse the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Someone could still post that online. They could shout it out loud. They would still be protected under freedom of speech laws. But if that person then assaulted a Jewish person, that prior statement could be considered by a judge during sentencing. That would not be covered currently during our hate crimes law, because the law states that a hate crime is any crime that is done with hatred towards a certain group. Just denying the veracity of a historical event, like the Holocaust, under current laws wouldn't be allowed for it to be considered during sentencing. This bill would simply give the judge an option to consider it. To be clear, this bill would still allow for people to criticize Israel, as it says in the definition. Speech that is critical of Israel or speech that includes any of the examples in the definition would also still be allowed. This bill is supported by a broad group of states, countries, and organizations. The International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition has been put in place by over 30 states, over 40 countries, and the DOJ has been using the definition for sentencing. This is a proven definition that has been enacted around the world. And while there are some that share my faith that have a different opinion, and as the old saying goes, two Jews, three opinions, the vast majority of Jewish institutions and Jews across this state are in support of this bill. I urge my colleagues to vote yes. But I'd also urge this body to continue to fight to protect marginalized and vulnerable populations, to fight Islamophobia, to fight racism, to fight sexism, to fight for the rights of the LGBTQ community. And I'd like to urge this body to bring up a vote on HB 596, the Hate Crimes Prevention Act, to continue to work to make sure North Carolina is a place where all types of people can survive and thrive. I hope that this is just the first step in a much larger agenda to eradicate hate in the Old North State, and I urge my colleagues to vote yes on this bill.
The gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Good afternoon. Members, appreciate the body's indulgence in taking this bill up today. Members, the Shalom Act is a bill to further define and make it very clear in North Carolina what anti-Semitism is. Many of you, I would submit all of you in this room, have seen some of the activities that have happened around the country and around this state in recent weeks. We saw the senseless attack on the state of Israel in October of last year, and we've seen protests, we've seen civil unrest. More importantly, we've seen actual physical violence that is escalating to a point that is just something that we have not seen during many of our lifetimes in this state. We have to deal with this. We have to be very clear that this will not be tolerated. We've seen violence. We've seen folks standing on campuses with placards of pictures of a person coming in on one of these paraglider things, like these guys did, these murderers did in October of last year. We've seen folks holding signs saying death to Israel, death to Jews, all these heinous things. We've seen physical assaults. I'm a proud graduate of UNC Chapel Hill, and when I saw the other week the American flag forcefully taken down by a group of protesters and the Palestinian flag hoisted above our state's university, that just turned my stomach. I don't know how else to say it. And it was, but a proud moment out of that was when I saw our interim chancellor, when I saw students and others who went out there, took that down and put the American flag back up. How many of you saw those images? How many of you noticed when the chancellor was out there, looked like he had just been in a rainstorm or something? He had been spit on and had water thrown on him. And other officers got assaulted as well. Students did as well. That is exactly the kind of conduct that this definition is making clear is anti-Semitism. Those individuals were attacked because those individuals were out there violently, not just free expression of ideas, violently protesting and breaking the law because they hate Israel and they hate what Israel is doing, and many of them have even said they hate the Jewish people. I can only imagine, Representative Riddell, your reaction to seeing that. And I think your story of your family is compelling, and there's no reason you or anyone else of the Jewish faith should have to be in fear, should have to face that kind of ridiculous treatment by those who are doing these sorts of things. My friends, what this bill does is it adopts the IHRA definition, puts it in there. Just so you'll have the full context, North Carolina already has statutes in place that deal with hate crimes. It's chapter 14-3, chapter 14-101.14. What the thing that is missing right now, though, is the definition of anti-Semitism. My friends, this bill clears this up. This is a standard that has been adopted by 32, 33 states in the country. It's been adopted internationally across the board. It's been adopted by a number of NGOs. We're not having to trot any new ground here in terms of creating this up. This is something that has been very well accepted across the board, across the spectrum, around the globe. I would ask that you join us in supporting this bill today, and would urge your support. Thank you.
I'm sorry. The chamber will come to order, please. The lady from Wake, Representative Foray, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. My colleagues, you know, all of us are legislators, but many of us are also parents. Some of us, myself included, are parents of teenagers, the age at which young people contemplate who they are, who they want to be, where they fit in society, how they interact with other people, and how other people will interact with them, not only in the future as they enter adulthood, but right now in their schools, among their peers, and in their communities. According to reports, 78% of American Jews feel less safe than they did a year ago, and 43% of them have actually changed their behavior out of fear. In the 3 months following October 7th, 2023, there were an average of 34 anti-Semitic incidents per day in the United States. Approximately 38% of Americans aged 18 to 29 don't think Jewish people experience discrimination, and a quarter don't believe hate crimes against Jewish people are a serious problem. Our young people are seeing and hearing anti-Israel protests break out on college campuses all across our country, and of course, right here in North Carolina. While we as Americans have the right to free speech, hate of any kind has no place in our communities. We cannot address anti-Semitism if we cannot define it. It is up to us as leaders in North Carolina to define what anti-Semitism is to guide our young people, teachers, administrators, local leaders, and recognizing anti-Semitism when it occurs. The Shalom Act implements an objective definition of contemporary anti-Semitism, also adopted by 31 states and the District of Columbia, while also explicitly stating that nothing in this bill is to be construed to diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the First Amendment. The definition is an educational tool intended to help people recognize anti-Semitism in order to address conduct. It is important that we pass this bill today. I look forward to hopefully a unanimous bipartisan vote on this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Maury Rice?
To speak on the bill.
Lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. I will also join all colleagues that abhor and deplore any type of anti-Semitism. And my remarks are not about that. My remarks are simply, I wish this bill were broader. I wish it were much more inclusive of other types of people who have hate and discrimination against them, that we could take up the Hate Crimes Prevention Act that we've introduced two prior terms. And I am worried about the constitutionality of this bill. I think there could be challenge in court because there could be claims that it does infringe on free speech rights for remarks against a state and not a religion. For these reasons, not against the tenor of the bill, but for these concerns, that we're not going far enough protecting others and the constitutionality on the free speech, respectfully, I will vote no. Thank you.
Ma'am. Gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative McGee, the chair is in receipt of the gentleman's amendment. While the chair is going to rule that the amendment is not germane to the bill in that order, the chair will, however, allow the gentleman to speak to it, regardless if the gentleman would like to speak to it. The chair will permit that courtesy.
Mr. Speaker, members of this distinguished legislature, I wanted to add an amendment to House Bill 492. Basically, it would increase the scope and the punishment of hate crimes. It would make hate crimes a Class H felony, which includes 4 to 25 months of penalty. Property-related crimes, felonies, larcenies, forgery, and also dealt with restorative justice. And that's basically, it's a complement to H-942. Mr. Speaker, I have another question. I have an inquiry.
Of course, the gentleman's recognized.
Inquiry of the chair. Why is this not germane to the bill?
It goes, and I appreciate the gentleman's question, it goes beyond the scope of the bill. The bill here is only providing a definition of anti-Semitism and is not expanding any other criminal penalties. It is not creating new crimes. The changes proposed by the gentleman would require things like an incarceration note, fiscal note, et cetera, because it would be increasing penalties. And so the decision was made at this point to simply clarify the definition. So because the gentleman's goes beyond the content, certainly not a reflection on whether it's a good idea or not. It just goes beyond the scope of the bill. So for that order, the chair ruled that it simply wasn't germane to the bill.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to speak to the bill.
Like to speak to the bill?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill. The amendment will be returned to the gentleman as well. The gentleman has the floor.
When I first heard of the possibility of this bill being produced, I was elated because it relates to the problem of hate that numerous communities have been experiencing. But this bill, as produced, was a disappointment to me. I've been working on a comprehensive hate crimes bill for the last 6 years in this chamber. In the long session of this biennium, I primaried the Hate Crimes Prevention Act along with Representatives Rudeau, Bunsey, and Sylvania. And to this date, this long overdue bill has not been passed. Hate is an evil, and too many lives have been destroyed by those who practice hate. HB 942 in its description is an act standing up to hate and leading with our moral principles. I don't think our moral principles should be limited to the Jewish community. We shouldn't silo hate crimes exclusively to the Jewish community and exclude the Christian, Muslim, and other faith communities that are impacted by these heinous acts. Let's take a stand, but not a segmented stand, not a narrow stand. Let's take a comprehensive stand that offers solutions and appropriate penalties. We up the penalty for persons who take the life of police officers. You know, there's an argument that said, I've had arguments of people to say, well, hate crime, you can't stop hate. No, but did that action that we took, increasing the penalties, stop people from taking the lives of those who serve and protect our communities? But it makes a moral statement that we, as a body of legislators, will stand behind our law enforcement heroes and sheroes who sacrifice their lives to protect us. We can't segment or silo hate. Hate is an equal opportunity employer that recruits regardless of race, color, creed, nationality, gender, or sexual orientation. We are connected, and we should legislate remembering that we are the Adams family. And there was a saying that if you take the life of one, it's like you took the life of the whole humanity. But if you save the life of one, it's like you save the life of the whole humanity. Justice is for all, not for some. So I support justice. And I can't support this bill strictly for those reasons. It should be more comprehensive. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to speak to the bill briefly. The
gentleman has the floor.
Just want to talk just a moment about some of the facts and why this bill is important. Data shows that although Jews make up less than 2% of the American population, they are among the most likely of all minority groups to be victimized by incidents of hate. My colleague mentioned a moment ago the figures of how much of this hate goes on, 34 incidents per day. If you want to carry those figures a little bit further, this includes 3,291 anti-Semitic incidents, which include 56 incidents of physical assault, 554 incidents of vandalism, 1,347 incidents of verbal and written harassment, 1,307 rallies that included anti-Semitic rhetoric and expressions of support for terrorism against the state of Israel and Jews generally. I think it's crucial that we call this what it is, and we have a definition of anti-Semitism. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
To debate the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, by way of a little bit of food for thought, I would like to share the following from Gordon B. Hinckley, and I'll just be quoting him. He said, "I had a long-remembered meeting with a former prime minister of Israel. He had seen much of conflict and trouble in his time. He told a very interesting story of a Jewish rabbi who was conversing with two of his friends. The rabbi asked one of them, 'How do you know when the night is over and a new day is begun?' His friend replied, 'When you look into the east and can distinguish a sheep from a goat, then you know the night is over and the day has begun.' The second was asked the same question. He replied, 'When you look into the distance and can distinguish an olive tree from a fig tree, then you know morning has come.' They then asked the rabbi how he could tell when the night was over and the day had begun. He thought for a time and then he said, 'When you look into the east and see the face of a woman and can say, she is my sister, and when you can look into the east and see the face of a man and say, he is my brother.' In these areas that we discuss, I think that may be a good little story for us to remember and apply in our lives."
For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
Thank you. To speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thanks. And I also want to join my colleagues in support of this bill. Thank Representative Rudolph for your very moving comments and position. I think gave us a lot of perspective. I wanted to thank everybody for the bipartisan support for this bill. I, like Representative Rudolph, look forward to us to continuing this work and making sure that we do all that we can as governmental officials to protect marginalized communities. I don't think there's much more important that we can do than to be the voice for the voiceless and to make sure that folks are taken care of. I'd also appreciate Representative Majeed and the hate crimes bill that he has put forward, and look forward to that opportunity of being able to spread this to many other areas. But I thank all of you for your support, and thank you for presenting this bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 942 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Logan wish to vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 105 having voted in the affirmative and 4 the negative. House Bill 942 passes second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
The General Assembly, North Carolina, enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 942 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 942 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate by a special messenger. Members, if the chair could have the body's attention, we have some special guests here with us. And I would ask, as I call these names, if these individuals would please stand. These folks are here today to observe for the Shalom Act. First, we have Mark Goldhaber, who is with the Jewish Federation of Greater Raleigh. Susan Goldhaber with the Jewish Federation of Greater Raleigh as well. Dr. Mike Ross with Voice for Israel. Nama Shaked, who is here with the Jewish Federation of Greater Raleigh. Jill Madsen, who is here with the Durham Jewish for Good. Dr. Adam Goldstein, who is with the Durham Jewish for Good organization as well. Glenda Bernhardt, who is here with the Greensboro Jewish Federation. Dumasani Washington and Valerie Washington, who are here with us on behalf of the Institute of Black Solidarity with Israel. Harry Kaplan, of course, who is a lobbyist and well-known, a friend of many of us, who is a part of the Jewish community and advisor. Amy Vittner, who is here with the Jewish Federation in Greater Charlotte. And I want you to hear this last one. Shelley Weiner, who herself is a Holocaust survivor from Greensboro, North Carolina. Please join me in welcoming these special guests with us here today. Again, we thank you for being with us today on this special day. We wish you a great visit throughout the rest of the time here at the legislative complex, and all the best for you. A couple of other recognitions on behalf of the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell. The chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the following guests. And when your name is called, if you would please stand as well. First off, County Commissioner Randy Burns of Burke County. George Holman, Mayor of Taylorsville. Larry Chapman, who's a councilman at the town of Hudson. Anthony Starr, who is the Executive Director of the Western Piedmont Council of Governments. Sherry Long, who is the Assistant Director at the Western Council of Governments, who I believe is actually retiring with 37 years of service. Congratulations on that. David Pugh, who is the Administrative Director of the Western Piedmont Council of Governments. We'd ask these folks, you're all standing here to the left, please join me in welcoming these special guests here with us today. And I would also join in Representatives Adams and Setzer of Catawba County in those special recognitions as well. I believe we have a number of other folks here from around the state with the North Carolina Regional Council of Governments that have been making their visits today. Would y'all please stand? We don't want to just take care of the West. We got to recognize everybody. Would everybody else with the Council of Governments please stand as well? Thanks for being with us, though. Senate Bill 166, the clerk will read.
Senators Krawick, Jarvis, Lowe, Senate Bill 166, a bill to be entitled 2024 Building Code Regulatory Reform, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, is recognized to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members.
Once again, we have a building code reg reform bill. It may seem odd, but these are coming every year, but just to give you a little bit of facts. There's 512 municipalities across North Carolina, each with their own opinions, as well as 200 and some inspection departments. So it keeps us all on our toes. This bill is a series of items, and what we did was we made a decision. Anything was controversial, we would pull it out, which is exactly what we did. So everything in here that's left has been reached by consensus or agreement with stakeholders. So like I said, there's a number of items. If anybody has any particular questions, I certainly will stand for those. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To speak to the bill.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but if you don't mind, I'm just going to repeat the process argument. This bill was one page last week. The members of the committee that saw this bill for the first time as 73 pages, I think, on Tuesday, and then it was in finance this morning for a half an hour, only focused on the finance portions of the bill, and it got the rules referral got stricken, and now it's on the floor, and I don't know who's had a chance to read this bill, but I sure haven't. And as I said, in my motion to move to object to having it added, our people back home haven't read it, don't know what the consequences are of this. I think there's some significant concerns that have been expressed to me, and I guess they didn't get expressed to Representative Brody, but I sure heard about it. I'll remind you all that last year we passed House Bill 488 over the veto of the governor, and that made some significant changes to our building code, including splitting, I guess, the residential and the commercial building code councils. The committee appointments to that were taken away from the governor, and this bill does the same thing. So I would submit to you that we've got another unconstitutional bill that has taken away the governor's power of appointment. And these are really important appointments. As I understand it, some of the appointments, a lot more appointments, have been moved over to the building industry representatives, which may make some of these future actions by the Building Code Council harder to enact when you get opposition from the builders. So I don't need to remind everybody how quickly growing North Carolina is. Incredible housing stock popping up all over the state, certainly in my district. And we need strong building codes, and we need these for the safety and the help of North Carolinians. The building code as a result of this bill, as I understand it, the building code that we will continue to rely on for building new housing is the 2009 building code council, the 2009 building code. And why this is, worth noting is because we are facing, I don't know that I get to talk about this much on the floor, but we are facing a hotter future. We need more energy efficiency. We had House Bill 951, I think, that enacted a carbon reduction goal, and one of the easiest way to do it is to construct more energy efficient housing. So we're going to continue to rely on a 2009 energy code that does not reflect advances in technology that can move us along. That also translates to higher electricity bills for all of our constituents. So I just I don't know enough about it to argue with much more facts, but I think those are enough to just indicate that this bill deserved a little bit more of a dip in a policy committee, and I don't want to waste your time making that motion, but I wish that this were headed to another committee review so that the public could have input and so that the rest of this chamber might have a little bit more time to consider the significant changes this bill makes and the fact that it's unconstitutional. So I just urge you to vote no. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
You know, I don't know quite how to put this, but I've been around here now almost four years. And when I first came in here, I had to learn the process. And I thought one thing that was true about a deliberative body is that we deliberate. We're passing laws, for goodness sake. And this bill, 166, I hadn't even got a chance to read it. 73 pages, and I bet you if I asked for a showing of hands right now, how many have read all 73 pages, there'd be very few people. Yeah, the ones who are maybe who were part of proposing it. But my complaint is, do we have to do it this way? Does it really have to be done this way? And I promise you, if I'm ever anything in this body down the road and have a chance to change that process, I mean, the process that this bill came through on, I will do it. I promise you that, as God is my witness. I think it's absurd and it's ridiculous that we should do it that way. So I'm going to vote against the bill. It may be a great bill. I'm going to vote against it because they crammed it down my throat. And it's wrong. I just had to say that, and thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Dupin, Representative Dixon, rise?
To briefly debate the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Or actually make a comment. I've heard, had numerous comments. I'd like to thank Representative Brody. Many of the people affected by this have made it a point to come to me today and to talk about how fair you were and how willing you were and the others to listen to their concerns and incorporate them properly into this bill. So I would personally like to thank you, Representative Brody, for the good job that you've done.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 166 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Quick wish to vote. Representative Robertson, Representative Staten Williams, Representative Adams. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 71 having voted in the affirmative and 35 in the negative. Senate Bill 166 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 166 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 166, having passed its third reading, will be returned to the Senate by a special messenger. Members, before we open it up to notices and announcements, for scheduling purposes, this is the only day of votes this week. It looks like we will have votes next week, and I would anticipate those to be on Wednesday. Chair does not anticipate votes Monday or Tuesday of next week. So, but Chair does anticipate votes Wednesday. Chair does not anticipate at this time votes on Thursday. That, of course, may be subject to change. At this time, the gentleman is going to recognize the chair is going to recognize the gentleman from Davis and Representative Potts to speak to a point of personal privilege and inform the body of something.
Thank you. I hope most of you have read your emails today about the passing of Representative Chairman Lambeth's wife on Monday night. I roomed with him. She was fine at 10:30 when he talked to her and said we're having a storm. She was going to go to bed early. Later the next day on Tuesday, of course, we all know that Representative Lambeth's always busy. He's one of the senior budget writers. His office is full. His daughter called him and said he needed to come home. He texted me, and then he called me later, said his wife passed away sometimes very peacefully during the night. She had not been ill. She had not had any disease that they know would cause death. She did have some back problems. He wanted me to thank you all for the prayers and your thoughts and to keep them in your prayers and thoughts the next couple of days. May I have an announcement, Madam Chair?
You may proceed with the announcement.
HHS Joint House and Senate Appropriations, for those who are on the committee, will meet 15 minutes after session in room 605. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to be recorded as voting yes on 166.
Clerk will so record. Well, what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, arise?
Is it time for notices and announcements?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a notice or an announcement?
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm...
Both.
I wanted to recognize my interns. Is it time for that?
You have.
I just want to make sure I was clear.
Personal privilege.
Okay, thank you. Point of personal privilege. I want to recognize these two young ladies who worked with my office this summer. This spring. Zaid Steele, a graduate of Shaw University. She's also was a student body president and majored in communications and also minored in political science and psychology. And then my second other intern was Sophie Teague from UNC at Chapel Hill, who majored in political science. They're both graduating and going on to work in Washington, D.C. this summer. I really appreciate your service, and thanks for working with me this summer. I mean, this spring. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Cervania, rise?
Madam Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to recognize to speak to the statement.
You have the floor to speak to the statement.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. May marks the Heritage Month for Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders. And you probably notice in the building, there is many of us here who have been trying and hopefully successfully taking time to sit with you when it comes to having you recognize our community and also the things that are most important to us. I want to let you know, and I read the statement similar last year, that to let you know that we are part of North Carolina's history, culture, and achievements here in our state and in the United States, and we're one of the fastest growing communities in North Carolina and fastest growing racial groups in America. And between that time of last year to this year, I just want to speak to a couple of achievements and contributions that have occurred, at least in my town of Cary. We actually had a couple, Sluvik and Sweta Duta, who won a Grammy Award for their wonderful music that they had produced and developed last year. And also the great RoboRiser team, the seventh grade team from Mills Park Middle School, who are heading to the VEX Robotics World Championships in Dallas, Texas. So even just in my small town of Cary, we have adults and children who are of AANHPI descent contributing to the greatness in music, fine arts, technology, and I know there's more stories like that from your areas too. So thank you so much for this time, and hopefully you keep your office doors open to receive them today and to let them know that you are in support of the things that they do here in North Carolina. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, we're going to suspend notices and announcements for a moment because we forgot to do something very important. We'd ask the pages to come forward so that we can recognize them. If you'll come around. To the front. All right. Madam Clerk, we'd ask that you recognize the pages.
Truman Adcock, Gaston County, sponsor, Representative Donnie Loftus. Sawyer Davis, Carteret County, sponsor, Representative Celeste C. Cairns. Hushan Hung, Orange County, Representative Alan Boynsey. Tommy Jacobs, Scotland County, sponsor, Representative Garland E. Pierce. Allison Manning, Lenoir County, sponsor, Representative Chris Humphrey. Corinne Rennie, Jones County, sponsor, Representative Chris Humphrey. Kingsley Wilson, Columbus County, sponsor, Representative Brendan H. Jones.
Clerks, thank you. Pages, thank you for your attendance this week, and thank you for your service. We hope you learned something, and we'll encourage your friends to come and see more. I wish we had more to show you at this point, but at least you've got to see part of how your legislature works. Again, members, join me in thanking the pages, and you may return to your post. Representative Potts from Davidson, you are recognized to apparently correct something?
Correct an announcement. Thank the Lord for LAs because they correct all your errors. The meeting at 15 minutes after is for the HHS appropriation chairs. I already had three of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle volunteer to come, but I told them we'll probably be all right today without them. But thank you.
What does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, arise?
point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This being the final day of official business this week, it occurs to me that it should be appropriate that we, since we have lots of ladies in the audience, and many of them are mothers, that we ought to take this opportunity to wish each of you a very prosperous Mother's Day this Sunday. Thank you.
Representative Hawkins from Guilford, from Durham, you are recognized for a point of personal privilege.
Durham.
I was going to promote you on up the state to Guilford.
We're a point of personal privilege, Madam Speaker.
You have the floor.
Thank you. I rise to recognize the members of the Divine Nine, which are the or the National Panhellenic Council, which are mostly African American sororities and fraternities. They were here today as part of their Legislative Advocacy Day. As top of their agenda was education, making sure that every kid across the state of North Carolina received a sound basic public education, and that we were funding teacher pay, as well as making sure that our historically black colleges and universities received parity and funding. Many of you probably have met or know a member of these organizations: Omega Psi Phi fraternity, mine, which is the best, by the way, Alpha Phi Alpha, Kappa Alpha Psi, Phi Beta Sigma, Iota Phi Theta, Delta Sigma Theta sorority, aka Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, Zeta Phi Beta sorority, and Sigma Gamma Rho. These people range from being community leaders to doctors and judges and teachers and even legislators. Many of the legislators, African American legislators, are members of these organizations. They have left for the day, but I did not want not honor their presence today, because there are thousands of members across our state in every single county, and hundreds of thousands across the world that are making a difference in every single day serving their community. I'm proud to be a member of one of these organizations, and I want to thank you for your time. And if in your community you have the opportunity to engage with them, please do. Call them up. They'll gladly tell you what is on their national and local thrust, because it is all about serving the community and making North Carolina a better place. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Jeffers of Person County. For what purpose do you rise?
Moment of personal privilege.
You have the floor for personal privilege.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I had the opportunity about 20 plus years ago, even though I don't look that old, to meet my seatmate. And we met in a role of service then, and I'm sure we didn't think, 20 plus years later, we'll both have the opportunity not only to have this role of service to our state, but also to be seatmates. And so I hope you all will join me in wishing him a very happy birthday, because he does look like he's been around that long.
Your speaker has a moment of personal privilege, please. There's a very, very special man out in this world who puts up with a whole lot. He is married to me, and today is his birthday, and it's a big birthday. He is 65. He got his Medicare card. So I wish to wish my husband a happy birthday. Representative Lowry of Robeson County, you're recognized. For what purpose?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. A point of personal privilege.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This past weekend, we lost a former member of the General Assembly, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Horace Locklear. In 1976, Mr. Locklear won election to the North Carolina House of Representatives, and in 1977, he was seated as only the second American Indian to ever serve in the General Assembly, serving until 1982. Mr. Locklear was from the Sowtree community of Robeson County. He graduated from the Lumbee High School of Magnolia, and he later attended Pembroke State College at the time. In 1972, he graduated from North Carolina Central University with a Juris Doctorate, and later that year, he was admitted to the North Carolina State Bar, becoming the first American Indian to do so, a true trailblazer in my community. And in 1979, he was instrumental in passing legislation making the eastern box turtle the official reptile of North Carolina. In my community, not including myself, there's been 5 members to be in this General Assembly as American Indians. And Mr. Henry Ward, Mr. Horace, and Mr. Adolph L. Dial has gone on to be with their creator. And all 3 of these gentlemen have left their mark on my community. In 1977, Mr. Horace Locklear was actually seatmate with a future Speaker of the House, Mr. Harold Brubaker. And I asked around with some folks for some comments and thoughts about this gentleman who, growing up, I'd always heard about this gentleman. I'd never met him, and I never had the opportunity to meet him. But he was one of those giants that, you know, I stand on the shoulders of today. And so I wanted to ask folks who actually knew him, who served with him, what was your thoughts about this gentleman who I hope to carry on his legacy? He said he was a sharp individual with a keen sense for serving his district. And Mr. Ron Sutton, who was the longest serving American Indian to ever serve in the General Assembly, he said while he served all the people of his district, he was a strong voice for the American Indian people who had no voice at the time. I have no idea what it was like to be in the to live in the 1970s. But in my community, we had these trailblazers who were men and women alike who did things that no one else had done. He was the first American Indian to graduate from law school in North Carolina in 1972, which wasn't that long ago. The first one admitted to the bar. It was wow. Like, people could actually be lawyers? That's pretty awesome. And I grew up hearing about these people, and I think that this should be a testament not only to him, but every single one of us in here. Every single one of us in here are looked up to by somebody, by someone. We are leaders. And I tell you, I pick every day, but you could actually ask our chief principal clerk, Mr. White. Every day that I'm here, whether we're in session or not, I walk in this room, and I look up there, and I see my name because it humbles me. And it should humble every single one of us that we have the opportunity to serve. One day, somebody's going to sit in these seats after us, and they're going to know that somebody sat in front of them that cared enough for North Carolina, no matter how you feel, to come and serve. Somebody told me something long ago, and I carry this with me. And if you know me, you know how I am. We have our own difference of opinions. But somebody gave me some advice long ago that I still carry with me. That every single one of us in here, no matter how we feel about anything, we all want the same things. In this world of raging partisanship, we all want safe communities, good schools, good jobs. We all want these things. We all may have a different way of getting to the end result, but we all want a better world for our children. And I have no idea what inspired folks like Mr. Horace Locklear and others to stand up and say, you know what, I'm about to go to this big city, Raleigh, and I want to represent. But I feel that every single one of us in here, no matter how often we may vote against each other, how often we may disagree, but I will always hold true to the belief that if you are in here today, or if you're in that lower chamber over there, that you truly do care about the people of North Carolina. And to know that I have the opportunity to carry on this gentleman's legacy means a lot to me. But also, I get to serve with each and every single one of you. And I can tell you, I'm not going to agree with every single one of you, but I am so glad to be here and proud to be here. And I hope that we all, at the end of the day, feel that same way. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Thank you. For what purpose does Representative of Cabarrus, Representative Crutchfield, arise?
Point of personal privilege, Madam Speaker.
You have the floor.
Having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask to be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
You're recognized and it will be spread across the journal.
So while we're talking about champions today, I thought it would be pertinent to bring up a local high school basketball team. For the past 2 seasons, Central Cabarrus men's basketball team has been one of the most successful teams in the entire state of North Carolina. And this year became back-to-back 3A state champions. Last season and this season, the team went undefeated 32-0 with a 32-0 record. They currently hold the longest winning streak in the U.S. of 65-0. So please join me in congratulating and commending these coaches and staff on their players, on their hard work, dedication, and outstanding performance. Thank you.
For what purpose does Representative Wake, Representative Cervania, rise?
Madam Chair, point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Very quickly. Weeks before approaching April 15th and then Thursday, May 2nd, there's a group of people here in this building that helped us so much when it came to submitting those bills that we all did in this short session. So I want to make sure that we express thanks to bill drafting, every person in there, because it was a mad, mad dash with a short, short time frame to put in some of these bills that we faithfully are trying to put through to really improve the state of North Carolina. So thanks to them.
Representative Penny from Harnett County. For what purpose do you rise?
A point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
I want to echo the comments of Representative Lowry. You know, when we pass through this life, we meet people that make a difference and a change in our life. Former Representative Horace Lowry was that kind of gentleman. I had the privilege of being his Sunday school teacher when he was visiting his son, Jay Locklear, in Harnett County. One of the kindest, gentlest men I have ever met, was always genuine, was always concerned and interested about other people. And I just want to reinforce what my colleague back here, Representative Lowry, had to say. Horace Locklear was a great man.
Further notices and announcements. Seeing none, Representative Gillespie is recognized.
Madam Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, May 9th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Members, if you'll hold it down, we're still working on... Representative Gillespie moves, seconded by Representative White, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, May 9th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned.
The conference report, the clerk will read.
Conference report, House Bill 31, to the President of the Senate, Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conference appointed to resolve the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives on House Bill 31, a bill to be entitled an act to provide for partisan elections for the members of the Roy Ann Salisbury Board of Education. Senate Redistricting and Elections Committee substitute adopted May 31st, 2023, submit the following report. The House and the Senate agreed to the following amendment to the Senate Redistricting and Elections Committee substitute adopted May 31st, 2023, and the House concurs and the Senate Committee substitute as amended. The conferees recommended that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Conferees approved this report May 8, 2024. Conferees for the Senate, Senator Carl Forge, Chair, Senator Paul Newton, Senator Warren Daniel. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Harry Warren, Chair, Representative Julia C. Howard, Representative Kevin Crutchfield.
Conference report for House Bill 31 is...
referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar Operations of the House. Reading of representative statements, clerk will read.
A representative statement honoring the Western Carolina University 2023 women's soccer team. Whereas the women's soccer team at Western Carolina University in Cullowhee, North Carolina, was crowned the 2023 regular season champions of the Southern Conference SunCon and won 2023 SoCon Conference Tournament Championship and. Whereas 2023 WCU soccer team is the first in program history to win both the regular season and the tournament titles and. Whereas the 2023 WCU soccer team is the first WCU athletic team to win both regular season and tournament championships in a season in 20 years and. Whereas the Catamounts are in their third appearance in the NCAA Division I tournament and were one of two Carolina programs in the 2023 tournament and. Whereas the Catamounts are the only Division I women's soccer team in the state of North Carolina to win a 2023 conference championship out of 17 soccer collegiate programs and. Whereas 2023 WCU soccer team are not only champions on the field but champions in the classroom, win awards for sportsmanship and acknowledgement for their team community service and. Whereas Catamounts have maintained a team GPA of over 3.7 for 10 school semesters in a row and. Whereas for the past 5 years, the Catamounts have been ranked number one for GPA in SoCon soccer and ranked number one for GPA in the WCU athletic department 16 Division I programs and. Whereas for 18 years in a row, the Catamounts have received the team academic award from the United Soccer Coaches Association and. Whereas the Catamounts are only one of seven Division I programs out of nearly 350 soccer programs to be awarded a 2023 College Team Ethics and Sportsmanship Award from the United Soccer Coaches Association. Now, therefore, the 2023 women's soccer team at Western Carolina University in Cullowhee, North Carolina, deserves to be recognized for having a championship season and congratulated for their academic excellence and sportsmanship. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 8th day of May, 2024. Submitted by Representative Mike Clampett, James White, House Principal Clerk. A representative statement observing the month of May as Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Whereas Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander, AANHPI Heritage Month is observed in May to recognize the influence of Asian, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Americans to the history, culture, and achievements of North Carolina and the United States. And whereas the AANHPI community is among the fastest growing communities in North Carolina and the fastest growing racial group in America. And whereas the month of May is marked by significant moments in AANHPI history, including the arrival of the first Japanese immigrants in May of 1843 and the completion of the first transcontinental railroad in the United States with significant contributions from Chinese pioneers in 1869. And whereas the United States continues to be a nation of immigrants and the diversity of our country and state continues to contribute to the strength and the beauty of North Carolina. And whereas during AANHPI Heritage Month, we acknowledge the additional determination, hard work, and perseverance that the AANHPI community must put forth to be seen and heard, as well as those who fought for equity before us. And whereas in the face of adversity in both our past and present, the AANHPI community has continued to overcome obstacles of bigotry and misunderstanding and established themselves as valuable members of this state. And whereas although we have accomplished much in terms of progress for the AANHPI community, there's still much work to be done to preserve our history in schools, museums, and the collective consciousness of the state. And whereas diversity represents one of our greatest strengths, and by recognizing the contributions and accomplishments of the AANHPI community, we celebrate the importance of inclusion to build in a brighter future that is welcoming to all people. And therefore, it is fitting to acknowledge May 2024 as Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month and to strongly encourage the residents of this state to observe, recognize, and celebrate the culture, heritage, contributions, sacrifices, and accomplishments of Asian American and Pacific Islanders to our country, state, and communities. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 8th day of May 2024, submitted by Representative Maria Cervania, James White, House Principal Clerk. A representative statement honoring Central Cabarrus High School boys basketball team. Whereas the Central Cabarrus High School boys basketball program deserves to be commended for a successful 2022 and 2023 seasons and. Whereas the Vikings only won back-to-back 3A state championships during the 2022 and 2023 seasons, but also had undefeated seasons, achieving records of 32-0, 33-0, respectively, which includes regular season records of 24-0 and. Whereas at 65 5-0, the Vikings currently hold the longest winning streak in the United States and lead the country in scoring during the 2023 season end, whereas the Vikings won four straight South Piedmont regular seasons and three straight South Piedmont tournaments end, whereas the Vikings receive rankings of number 21 in Max Preps, number 8 in Ballast Life, number 17 in USA Today, Super 25, and number 9 in the Circuit Top 30 end, whereas the outstanding performance by our 2022 and 2023 basketball teams at Central Cabarrus High School has brought special honor, recognition, and great pride to Cabarrus County and the state of North Carolina. Now, therefore, it's fitting to congratulate the members of the Central Cabarrus High School boys basketball team, including Chase Daniel, Jake Baker, Amari Russell, Joshua Dalton, Kavonta Martin, Noah Edmondson, Carson Daniel, Caden Smith, Larquise Burst Jones, Camden Laurie, Desmond Kent Jr., Chinka Ezekabo, and Infinite Morrow. Head coach Jim Baker, assistant coaches Joy Curry, Mike Glover, and Courtney Foster, and athletic director Jamie Billings for the exceptional accomplishments they made during the 2022 and 2023 seasons. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the Journal on the 8th day of May, 2024, submitted by Representative Kevin Crutchfield, James White, House Principal Clerk.
Those representative statements are noticed, and on motion of the chair of the following referrals, Senate Bill 124, short title Insurance Rebate Reform, that bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to the Committee on Judiciary 2, if favorable insurance, if favorable rules. Further referral, Senate Bill 156, short title Medicaid Children and Families Specialty Plan, bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to the Committee on Judiciary 2, if favorable rules. Further referral, Senate Bill 303, Strengthen Juvenile Laws, bills withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, recommitted to the Committee on Judiciary 2, if favorable rules.